awake, for you do not know when the Lord is coming. Two were in a field, and one was taken, and two were grinding meal. One was taken, and the other was left. And this scripture passage in Matthew is part of what is called the apocalyptic discourse. It means the revelation that what is hidden will be revealed. A little different from the Epstein files, but something hidden is going to be revealed to us. And part of that is the timing. I know I felt this apocalyptic time this past November, because we had a lot of tragedy on the coastline. A young Canadian family, two were left on shore, two were taken into the ocean, and less than a week later, the same thing happened again, in almost the exact same place. Three were actually taken into the ocean. Out of four, two made it back to shore, and the other person was never found. And then there was the tragedy in Patagonia of a blizzard that seemed to come out of nowhere and took hikers by surprise, and five people didn't make it back. And so this unexpected hour seems to burst on the scene. And certainly Jesus' coming is not a tragedy, but incidents like this are what seem to grab our attention and wake us up that we do not know how long we have. And so we're encouraged to wake up and to embrace our purpose for being here. Our purpose for being here is not to make money and have careers and make families and all of those things. That's part of it, but it is not our central purpose. Our central purpose is to awaken to our true nature, who God created us to be. But we are so fashioned and so conditioned and so socialized by our culture, our family of origin, that we forget who we are. And we believe that we must perform in order to be loved, to be accepted. The very well-known Canadian Union psychoanalyst, Marianne Woodman, has said that one of the problems in Western culture is that we have too much light, that we try and reach too much for the light instead of embracing our darkness. And she believes that it is the root of all addiction. This grabbing for the light, this hoping for some kind of perfection that I can hang on to and experience all the time. And as we try and grab hold of the perfection, we add add to the other side of imperfection, and the shadow grows and grows and grows and grows. In truth, what we're invited to do in the gospel in Advent is to embrace the darkness, because that is where we actually find the light. If you've ever been in a great cathedral, you know there's this balance of darkness and light. Through the clear story windows are the light, but it's juxtaposed against the darkness, and that's what makes the light stand out. It is darkness and light. But Western culture is very afraid of darkness, because that's where we see our so-called imperfection. But in God's eyes, there is no such thing as perfect and imperfect. Now, God sees is wholeness. We are not called to perfection. We are called to wholeness, which is a balance of darkness and light. This reaching for light is a projection of an idealization of what life should be. And we reach for that because we were not seen for who we were as children. So our task as adults is to begin to look inward to the inner life, into the darkness of ourselves, where we actually find our truth, where we find our treasure, where we find who we really are, not what people expect us to be or how we think we should perform, but for who we truly are. That is also the place where we find peace. And Isaiah encourages us to pray for peace, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the symbolic center of the soul, of where darkness and light meet one another. And if we can experience peace in Jerusalem, certainly we can experience peace anywhere. I don't know a day in my lifetime that there hasn't been conflict between Israel and Palestine. But what we are admonished to do in Advent is to look at the conflict in ourselves, not externally so much, but what needs to be resolved, reconciled in myself. You know, I didn't grow up in a liturgical church, and so when I first came to the Episcopal Church, I was a little confused about Advent. I mean, aren't we preparing for the coming of baby Jesus? And I learned that no, Advent isn't about preparing for the coming of baby Jesus. Advent is about the preparation for the second coming of Christ, the adult Jesus, the resurrected, ascended Jesus Christ. And he is coming to be a judge. He will judge the living and the dead. He will be the arbitrator of justice. And so Advent begins in this darkness as we strip down to see how do I prepare for the second coming of Christ. Not the first, but the second. So in truth, the liturgy is all wrapped up that the beginning is the end and the end is the beginning. It's much easier to accept the baby Jesus, infant, the sweet, innocent baby Jesus, rather than to accept Jesus as judge and arbitrator of justice. If you've ever seen Notre Dame Cathedral, there on the west porch in the tympanum is Jesus sitting on the throne in the mandorla, the vesica Pisces, which is the intersection of darkness and light. It is the sacred symbol of creation, where the opposites come together. And it is found in all created things and people in the human eye, that almond shape. But it is about the intersection of wholeness. It's the two circles coming together that create the third. So Advent really is a time for metanoia, which has often been translated as repentance, but repentance loses its true meaning. Metanoia means to enter the bigger picture, the larger mind, to let go of our little mind and to enter the bigger mind. Because our little mind is very restricted. We hold on to our opinions, we cherish them, we defend them. And yet they hold us hostage. And so when we're asked to wake up, we have to let go of those because they keep us from seeing. They keep us from being open to what the Spirit is wanting to do. Advent is about opening to the new age. The new age that is being ushered in, and to let go of the old age, the old way of seeing and doing things. And we are truly experiencing that as a nation and in the world. The old age is passing away. And many people cling to it with rage because they know nothing else. It's scary to let go of that and open to the unknown. But what is faith but opening to the unknown? Advent asks us to awaken, to step back from ourselves, to do some self-observation, to see what entangles in me, what puts a film over my eyes so that I do not perceive reality as it truly is. Father B. Griffiths, who was the harbinger between the East and the West, East and West dialogue between Christianity and Hinduism. And one of his favorite prayers was a passage from the Upanishads, "Lead me from darkness to light, from the unreal to the real, from death to immortality." That was his prayer. Lead me from darkness to light, from the unreal to the real, from death to immortality. We don't realize how much we live in unreality, how much we project our view onto reality, and we're not able to receive it directly. This is what Jesus is calling us to wake up from. And to look at ourselves, to see our pattern, our personal pattern of what enslaves us. And it's only then when we see that we can yearn for light, that we can yearn for freedom, that we can yearn for the real, instead of accepting life in the unreal. We are invited in Isaiah to imagine a world where there is no war between Israel and Palestine, where there is no genocide in Gaza, where there is no war between Ukraine and Russia, where there is no division and racism between blacks and whites. We are called to imagine, to be co-creators, and to imagine a world and usher that in, a world of peace and harmony. We are to imagine a world where there are no starving children in this world. And you and I have the ability to do that, but if we only focus on what we do not desire or what we do not like, we cannot create the new. We cannot usher in the new age. The dream is to turn the weapons of war into tools for farming. That's the dream of Isaiah. Where there is no war anymore, where we are willing to accept reconciliation, to lay down the need to be right. Rumi talks about that place of, "I'll meet you there," where no one needs to be right. I'll meet you in that place. and there will be no more war. So imagine that world. John Lennon knew he was in the zone when he wrote that song. Imagine all the people. That's why it is so beloved. It touches something very deep in us because we all long for that. And we have to believe that it's possible. And this is part of waking up. Not just accepting and resigning to things the way they are, but believing and hoping and imagining a different world than we're living in right now. This is how we prepare for the second coming of Christ. We do not know the hour or the day of when he will come again. So put on the armor of light and imagine a beautiful world with God. Amen.
Amen.